It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The three-day Labor Day weekend marks the unofficial end of summer. Will you be celebrating with a barbecue, picnic, or holiday getaway? Or if you're like many business owners, you may be working. Originating from the labor movement in the 19th century, the holiday honors the contributions and achievements of hardworking men and women. Here to look at the history and business of Labor Day is our contributor, Rebecca Harris, director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University. Rebecca, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks, Paul. It's great to be here.
Let's talk first about the history and founder of Labor Day. What do we know about this?
Okay. So it's really was a creation of the labor movement and dedicated to the social and economic achievements of American workers. And the first Labor Day was actually celebrated on a Tuesday, September 5th.
Tuesday. That sounds weird.
I know, doesn't it? September 5th, 1882 in New York City, in accordance with the plans of the Central Labor Union. Then by 1884, the first Monday in September was the official designation by the Central Labor Union. And they encouraged many other industrial cities to continue to celebrate it. And then it basically went nationwide. The founder, which is really interesting, there's some discrepancy about who was the real founder. Some records show that a man named Peter McGuire, who was a general secretary of the Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners, was the first person to suggest the day. But it's interesting because he was challenged by a person named Matthew McGuire. So let's not get these confused, who was a machinist. And he shows that he was really the person who advocated it. He was with a local 344 of the International Association of Machinists, and he supposedly suggested it. So there you go. We have a lot of people who were in favor of a Labor Day.
What is one of the more readily recognizable icons of the labor movement, both historically and today?
Well, can you guess? It's a woman.
It is. Okay.
It is.
And who is it?
It's Rosie the Riveter.
Of course.
Right.
World War II.
World War II. And what was so interesting was that
why don't you describe her?
Because people
have seen that image, but and this might bring it all.
Yeah, and we also have some links on your website, too, so people can check it out. But Rosie the Riveter was actually, the artwork was commissioned by a manufacturing giant, Westinghouse, by an artist named Howard Miller to make a series of posters to promote the war effort. And one poster featured the image of a woman who had her hair wrapped up in a red polka dot scarf, rolled up sleeves, and she was flexing her biceps, and the top of it said, "We can do it." So that was the original poster. There was a song as well. And then Norman Rockwell followed up on that, the cover of the Saturday Evening Post on May 29th, 1943. And then he had another picture of a woman who was wearing goggles and overalls and, again, contributing to the war effort. And the whole idea behind this was really to get women into and working in jobs that had been previously really worked on by males exclusively, but the men were really over in the war effort. So it's a great icon. It was like the most successful government advertising campaigns in all of history and one of the most successful labor icons.
Yeah, it may have had the unintended consequence of getting women into the workforce. They had to do those jobs because the men were away fighting back in those days.
And there was really no choice. And so I think it was one of those riveting moments.
No pun intended. Do we have statistics associated with celebrating Labor Day?
Well, we do. And part of it is really looking at the number of people in the labor force. So as of May 2013, from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, we have 55.7 million people over 16 who are in the labor force. So that is the current number right now. And really to celebrate those people, we also have close to 16 million people who are over 16 who are represented by a union. And that was as of 2012. And so those are really important numbers when we look at the number of people who work. And not counted in that number, I have to add, is certainly all the people who work at home taking care of families and children who aren't included in the official labor force. But if some of them were paid, there's a number that came out recently that said if you were a stay-at-home mom taking care of children and doing everything, you should get paid around $90,000 a year. But we don't do that and we don't count you. But we count you, okay, Paul, right? We do count them.
Certainly.
We do. AAA projects that there'll be 34 million Americans who will journey 50 miles or more during Labor Day, and that's an increase of 4% over last year. We like to see that. They will be spending an average of $800 on this Labor Day weekend. So, and the top three places they'll be spending are dining, shopping, and smaller gift items. So I think that you can see that there really is a business of Labor Days.
$800, sure.
Not bad, not bad. 85% of the travelers will be traveling by automobile. Again, an increase of about 5% over last year. So these are numbers that are adding to the economy and certainly to the business of Labor Day.
And we're looking at the business of Labor Day and the history of Labor Day with our contributor, Rebecca Harris, director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University. So let's talk about the business of Labor Day and what businesses are doing to boost sales.
Well, many students have already gone back to school, but there are solid back-to-school bargains, which can be found in the first half of the month. And when we looked at some research last year, we found stores like J&R and Newegg and Lenovo. They really extended their Labor Day sales through the first week of September. So they started and they kept going. So you actually had a whole week. And people were taking 15, 20% off lots of items, including ThinkPads and electronic devices. And so as you see September bringing in cooler weather, a lot of the warm weather apparel has to go. And there's big, big markdowns on all of the summer clothes and the summer items, things like barbecues and things like outside picnic supplies and all those things. Do not, though, however, go and buy your autumn supplies right now in the beginning of September because they are at cost and not marked down.
Right. It's like buying a winter coat in March.
Right, right. Yeah. So what you really want to do is you want to buy the things that are off season now. Patio furniture is heavily discounted, which is really important. Mattresses, for some reason, Labor Day is like mattress sale city. So if you are looking for a mattress, look for some big discounts. We read about some up to 50% discounts, free shipping. So really you want to go in and find what you can and look at some of those. And maybe you don't need it for right now, but maybe you need some of these things for later. Lawnmowers, things like that.
Hmm. Now, what activities are there that you know of to celebrate Labor Day here in Pittsburgh? There's a parade, of course,
There's a parade and a couple unique ones, and we've some listed on your website, but there's the Yaug River Trail Labor Day Poker Run. I know. Is that cool or what? You walk or bike in this non-competitive event beginning at the trail's Arthur King Access Route, and a poker run is an event that's organized using a motorcycle, a boat, a car, or other form of transportation. And you travel to pre-designated spots and you pick up a drawing card. At the end, you see who has the best poker hand. And it's a fundraiser, which is great. It's a fundraiser for the Allegheny River Trail. So I thought that was really cool. We have links on your website. The Coors Light Kickoff and Rib Festival is August 29th through September 2nd. So that's going to be really fun. Weekend festival at Heinz Field. And then we have the Pennsylvania Arts and Crafts Colonial Festival in Greensburg. So, again, that's like the 19th best craft show in America, and you'll find all this wonderful these crafts and art. So I definitely recommend that.
And football, Labor Day, you know, you said it signifies the official end of summer,
right,
and there's
right.
football and there's, on Monday night.
Yes, yes, yes. Although this weekend also I know that there's some big playoffs with the Pirates and the Cardinals at the ballpark as well.
We're still talking about baseball.
And
here's a key question.
Okay.
And it concerns fashion, and I know that you are a fashionista, so why don't we wear white after Labor Day?
It was one of these things that we found that people always talk about that, but you never know really what the answer is. So according to a Time U.S. article, why we can't wear white after Labor Day, white signifies during the summer a way to stay cool, changing your dinner menu, you know, putting on light slip covers. White is a lighter weight fabric, and also it doesn't absorb the sun. So some historians really speculate the origin of the no white after Labor Day rule may be symbolic, because what happened was in the earliest 20th century, when we're looking back at Labor Day, white was the uniform of choice for Americans who were well enough to, you know, they were really well off, and they could decamp from the city. So they left the city, they went to places which were much cooler, and they could wear light summer clothes. So if you look at the pictures, the people in the city had dark clothes on. So when all these people came back to their city jobs, they put on their dark clothes. So,
right. And you also had to be able to afford something to replace it with if you got a stain on it.
Right, right, right. So the white linen suits and the Panama hats were at these nice resorts and a nice look of leisure. So you still have a few more days to put on your Panama hat, Paul.
Okay, so we still observe that rule then.
I think that although you hear about a lot of people doing their winter whites, and so I think that that's still pretty prevalent. I really do. And I think it's really important to recognize that a lot of people have to work over Labor Day, and we certainly want to recognize those people too because they are the backbone of what we do here.
Well, we're sad to see summer go and sad to see you go, Rebecca. Rebecca Harris is director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University and our business contributor. Thank you so much for being here, as always.
All right. Thanks. I'll talk to you next week, Paul.
Tomorrow, as part of WESA's Life of Learning Initiative, Essential Pittsburgh examines chronic absenteeism. How does attendance impact the community? And inspiring students to go to school is a big part of this initiative. That's tomorrow at noon and 8 p.m. on 90.5 WESA. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Thanks for listening.